Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
He is their God. He's told these people, I am Jesus Christ.
You don't do anything except do what you're told.
Your money, your time, your everything, your families belong to the prophet.
Looks like we should begin with the opening statements and evidentiary portion of the trial next week. I think it's moving at a pretty good pace.
Well, those are two former followers of Warren Jeffs in the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Warren Jeffs himself, everything belongs to the prophet, and an attorney for the prosecution. In the trial of Warren Jeffs, it begins in Texas. They've seated their jury. He's being trialed for sexual assault charges connected to polygamy and his leadership of the FLDS. Joining us to talk about polygamy and Mormonism, Jill Rishi. She's co-founder of Walter Martin Ministries. She's co-managing editor of The Kingdom of the Cults and author of an article for the Watchman Expositor magazine titled The Pain of Polygamy. Jill, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Warren Jeffs is accused of these crimes. We call them crimes today, both polygamy and the sexual assault. Does his polygamy and his sexual mistreatment of women and girls, does it have precedent in Mormon history and among Mormonism's past leaders?
Yes, it does. He bases it on the Doctrine and Covenants, Section 132, and that was a revelation that Joseph Smith gave in Nauvoo, Illinois, in July of 1843, and that is the revelation of polygamy. So he bases it on that. Now, the mainline Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will deny that they have any connection to that. However, they have not removed Doctrine and Covenants, Section 132, from their scriptures, and they base their eternal practice of polygamy upon it.
What do they do with it then? I mean, there it is kind of obviously sitting in one of their holy books. How do they treat it, and how do they deal with the issue of Mormonism in the mainline LDS church?
Well, they practice, really, they do practice Doctrine and Covenants, Section 132, for eternity in the temple. And people will go there and participate in the temple ceremonies, and it's based upon this whole Doctrine and Covenants, Section 132. That's the whole thing that's a little disingenuous about Mormonism, and you'll see it in the press a lot, too. They'll say, well, we don't practice polygamy. We have nothing to do with that. You know, that our church came out against that. You know, the prophet in the 1890s came out against that, and, you know, it was rescinded. God changed his mind, basically, is what happened. God changed his mind, and, you know, they'll say that they have nothing to do with that, and yet their entire eternity is based upon it, and they practice that in their temple. That's what it's all about.
So you're saying that temple Mormons, and here we're not talking about your average Jack Mormon, but a temple Mormon, a male, will be polygamously married in temple ceremonies, if not practicing polygamy outside in the public, keeping more than, even if he doesn't keep more than one wife under one roof or more than one wife in more than one house kind of a thing.
Right. I mean, the whole idea of exaltation in Mormonism is the more wives you have, the more you can populate your planet when you become a god. You have to have multiple wives to do that. One wife just isn't going to do it. And that's what is so, I think, it's a very dishonest representation of Mormonism, is that they may say they do not practice it here on this earth, but they have every intention of practicing it throughout eternity. That's how it is.
So in that sense, Warren Jeffs is really being more consistent with the teachings of Joseph Smith and the earliest leaders of Mormonism.
Oh, absolutely. And it's because people, you know, disagreed with the mainline church. They said, well, no, you've fallen away from what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young taught. And that's how sects like this begin. Because they say, no, if you go back to what Joseph Smith taught, this is the purest, highest religion. This is living your religion, is practicing polygamy, and that's why you have sects like this, and that's why they are so strong, so fundamentalist, because they believe they are following what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young originally taught. And if you go back to history, they are. So they are really being honest, much more honest than the mainline church by saying, hey, this is what we believe. This is what Mormonism has always believed. And that is the truth.
What about the underage wives? I mean, it's hard to describe this except in terms of statutory rape. I mean, it has to be. But we're talking here about Warren Jeffs being accused of having relations or some kind of sexual contact with girls as young as 11 or 12. Does that have its precedent as well?
Absolutely. Historically, that happened all of the time. In fact, going back to the original documents, some of the testimony from Nauvoo is fascinating because you get a whole picture of how the older men in the church would literally chase down the young girls in the church, 12, 13 years old, as wives. They would meet wagon trains, and they would go down and pick out their wife, and it didn't matter how old she was. Age was never an impediment in the history of Mormonism. That's just how it was. And so absolutely, historically, there is a great deal of credible evidence that polygamy touched all lives, young lives, older lives, and it was not for the better. It was very destructive.
So if we were to, and it's a closed compound, but if we were to go and spend time in Warren Jeffs compound, he's been in prison, but he still has his followers exceeding 10,000 people, and they say he has more control over it from prison than he had when he was actually living there.
We'd find
basically old style Mormonism being practiced. About 30 seconds here, Jill.
Absolutely. And I think we saw that. I think that's why America was so fascinated when they had the raid in 2008 on Yearning for Zion compound. I think America was so fascinated because here really was a snapshot out of history. Here are these women dressed like women from the early Mormon church. Here are these women acting like women. And it was almost, when you looked at them and heard them speak, it was almost as if you'd stepped into a time warp. So, yes, I think that Jeff's community is definitely a representation of what early Mormonism was.
When we come back, we'll talk a bit about the real history of Mormonism in the Mormon church, the real history of polygamy in the Mormon church. Jill Rishi, co-founder of Walter Martin Ministries, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues, Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues, Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues, Etc. Issuesetc.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Jill Rishi talking about polygamy and Mormonism, especially in light of Warren Jeffs' trial beginning in Texas. Jill, let's talk about the history here, because it becomes just positively bizarre to read what it was like for women under polygamy. Not only were they encouraged to find a husband, then find more wives for that husband, you say that they might find themselves married to more than one man at a time. What's going on?
Yeah, that's what happened. There were many men. I think Mary Elizabeth Rollins Leitner was married. Let's see, she was married to Joseph Smith for eternity, and Brigham Young, and for time, that's time on this earth, and also to her legal husband. This was back in the late 1800s. And so, yeah, Mormonism got very confusing, and if you go back and look at the historical records, there were men who were sent on missions, and other men were delegated to step in and be the husband for that family while this man was on other missions. So there were women who did not even know who had fathered their children. This is the very twisted history of Mormonism. And this was not, you know, this was not a side, little side sect. This was the mainline Mormon church. Now, they will say that they have absolutely nothing to do with that today, but all of that practice was based on what Joseph Smith taught, what came out of his revelation of polygamy, Doctrine and Covenants 132. So that is the key foundational document that a lot of this, all of this was based on, and that Warren Jeffs based his sect on right now. So very dangerous, but, you know, again, Solomon said, what, there's nothing new under the sun? And polygamy, as it was practiced then, is now being practiced the same way and for the same reason.
So how many wives did Joseph Smith have that we know of or that we can account for?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think that there really was no actual historical count, because a lot of them were in secret, and that was something that, you know, everybody was always arguing about, how many does he have? How many does he have? You know, I guess you get me, guess maybe 50, 60 wives. Who knows, though? He married a lot of, before the 1840s, he married a lot of women that we know absolutely nothing about. So to try to get an accurate count on how many Joseph Smith had, you know, good luck. I guess if you wanted to just take a ballpark, you could say maybe between 25 and 50.
Brigham Young, did he follow in Joseph Smith's footsteps in that regard?
Yeah, officially he had, I think there were like 19, but, you know, there were so many multiple wives and multiple links to people that, again, there was a secretive clause before, you know, in the early 1840s, there were the secret polygamy being practiced. So we really do not know, and the Mormon Church has not officially released those records, those very, very early records of the church as to who was married to whom. So, you know, you can say, oh, well, he had 19 wives, or, oh, he had 30 wives. But until the Mormon Church, the mainline Mormon Church, steps up and releases those records from the very early time of Joseph Smith, when secret polygamy was practiced, we do not know who was married to whom and who fathered whom. Very, very mixed up and messy set of circumstances, and the God of the Bible does not do things that way.
You've mentioned this before, but the theological reason here is not only that men will advance to deity and populate their own planets, but that women cannot be exalted at all unless they enter into these plural and polygamous marriages. Talk about that teaching.
Well, you know, Mormons can become gods and goddesses, but the goddesses will always be inferior to the gods. They will spend eternity in full submission to their god husband. And one perfect example of that is that the children of these gods can pray to, you know, Heavenly Father, but they are not allowed to pray to Heavenly Mother. So no matter how good you are, no matter how you try to live your life, a righteous life as a woman in the Mormon Church, you will never, throughout eternity, never be equal to your husband. It's an inferior position that the woman is in, so much different than what the Christian Church teaches, that there are no male or female or slave or free, but all are equal in Christ Jesus. Completely different than what the Christian Church teaches, and very sad. It's bondage. Polygamy is nothing more than slavery. You, as a woman, have really no say. You can hear it in what that clip you played, you know, Warren Jeffs, and I've heard several others, too, that, you know, women must be in submission to their husband, and submission in a way that her beliefs and her desires are subordinate to his. And I believe there's a quote out there from Warren Jeffs that a woman's true happiness is only found in pleasing her husband. That is something, you know, directly from him. And so, you know, it's really sad that a woman loses her freedom, becomes nothing more than a slave. She's subordinate. And the children, what happens to the children, you know, is just as bad.
What if and we're talking here about the early days of Mormonism, what if a man refused to take more than one wife, or a woman refused to take part in a polygamous marriage?
Yeah, that was very sad, and there is historical evidence, and it happened, you know, back in the late 1800s that a Bishop Snow wanted a particular young girl, and although he had many wives already, he wanted this particular young girl, and I found this actually documented in three different historical sources, so it wasn't just one person saying it. And what happened is, of course, they approached the girl and said, "You're going to marry Bishop Snow," and she refused to do that because she was in love with this young man. And then they approached him and said, "You're going to go on a mission, and you're not going to marry this girl." And they both refused, and they were both stubborn teenagers, I'm sure. And one night, they lured him out to a barn in a, you know, for a secret meeting, and Bishop Snow castrated him. This is a historical fact. There are at least three sources that back this up. He was castrated, and he survived it, crawled off into a barn, and someone found him later. But he literally went insane from it. And the bishop married the girl, and she lived in a rundown hovel of a shack with a dirt floor. And I believe she had a minimum 7 or 8 kids. Lived there by herself. So this is what a lot of the wives of modern-day polygamists say, that you are in essence a single parent. You're a single parent, and you're raising those children, and you're a mistress. You're not a wife. A mistress and a single parent, and you can trace this all the way back through history. That's what's happened then, and that's what happened now. So yeah, Mormonism is a very, its history is a very, very sad one. The more I read, I did extensive research on this, the more I read and the more I researched, the more I realized what bondage this is. And, you know, at the time I was doing it, Todd, it was, you know, I was thinking, oh, I'm so glad, in a very naive way, I was thinking, oh, I'm so glad that, you know, this isn't happening today, you know, at least like it happened back then. And then I started researching polygamy today. And that was, I'll tell you, that was a real eye-opening experience to recognize that the same pain, the same bondage, the same lies were being practiced today. And we're letting it happen. You know, it's only been recently that these men have been called to account for this.
Jill Ritchie is co-founder of Walter Martin Ministries, co-managing editor of The Kingdom of the Cults, and author of an article for the Watchman Expositor magazine titled The Pain of Polygamy. We'll post a link to Walter Martin Ministries at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jill, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn about the worldview of the Norway terrorist Anders Behring. It is remarkable. False. We say this often here on Issues Etc., and it's remarkable how often it's proven true, because it is true. False teaching hurts people. Lies hurt people, especially of the spiritual kind, and Mormonism is one of those lies. It's a whopper of a lie, but really is just the old lie told by Satan in the garden: you will be as God. It was a lie then, it's a lie today, and whether you get it by getting multiple wives and elevating yourself to deity through Mormonism's works righteousness or some other way, it's still a lie. And it hurts people. People ensnared and trapped by this lie find themselves impossibly impossibly entrenched in it. It continues generation after generation, and pretty soon people, most tragically, not only have to live under the lie, but in some cases actually begin to believe it is the truth. There's only one freedom from Satan's old lie, only one freedom from the lie of Mormonism, and that is in the true Jesus Christ, not the one proclaimed by Joseph Smith. That is an imposter, but the true Jesus Christ, who comes to bring freedom from our sin, from every lie, and to give us the truth. When he says the truth shall set you free, he's talking about himself. He's talking about his own perfect life, a life that he lived so that we need not worry about elevating ourselves to deity. He elevates us by his own deity and humanity laid down at the cross and taken up again in his resurrection. And this truth truly does set us all free. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.